Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the May 20th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Hire new lawyer, plan for new TIF by David Porter. The Arcola City Council approved hiring Mark Miller of Miller & Hendren as city attorney without discussion. Hendren succeeds Andy Pettit in the role. Alderman Brent Budd abstained from the vote, which was otherwise unanimous. Andy was a good attorney for the city, said Bill Wagoner, city administrator. I appreciate his service to the community, and he is still an asset to Arcola. He said Miller is more seasoned in municipal law. Miller jumped right in directing aldermen who were not in the committee to sit in the Oztriga Budget and Finance Committee meeting. He said that they would join the discussion with the acceptance of the committee, but should not be at the table. During the regular meeting, the council heard plans from engineers Milano and Grunlow for work on a subdivision layout. As previously reported, the city is buying 10 acres on the southwest side of town and hope to buy 10 more. Wagoner said the city plans to establish a new tax increment finance TIF district. The Budget and Finance Committee approved the contract with PGAV for the TIF work, which includes pulling parcels out of TIF 6 and obligating TIF funds to start the new TIF. The city has faced opposition from the township on its TIF use. Wagoner said unanimous vote among taxing bodies will not be needed to form a new TIF. The city approved pay requests for Hora Construction and B&T Construction on sewer projects. One of the votes included a change order with a reduction in cost of $8,900. Wagoner said he knows some yards still need work and that recent rains has not cooperated with the city's efforts there. He said there's a one-year warranty on the grass and sod work, and he expects the contractors to have to return in the fall to reseed some areas. The council also heard a community development update from Hannah Myers. She said T-shirts are planned to help fund Fireworks for America's 250th celebration. She also noted that the first kid-friendly sweep, sip, and stroll event, May 28th, with 10 to 12 vendors, bounce houses, games, and face painting. The next article from the Arcola School Board. Approve long list of agenda items. The Arcola Community Unit District 306 Board of Education met in regular session Tuesday, May 13th at 7 p.m. at the high school library with Board President L. Schonkweiler presiding. Prior to the meeting, the board heard a presentation from the new student leadership group as reported on last week. Prior to the regular meeting, the Finance Committee convened at 6:30 p.m. to discuss the property and liability insurance renewal presented by insurance consultant Mike Lindenmeyer, along with the tentative amended budget for the 2025-2026 school year. The board took action on lengthy list of items, handbook and policy first readings. The board approved the first reading of the school handbooks for the 2026-2027 school year. Discussion touched on the participation of homeschool students in extracurricular activities. The full board will weigh in on that question. The board also approved the first reading of press board policies from March 2026, with the policy committee seeking broader board input on one specific policy. Amended budget. The board approved the tentative amended budget changes for the current 2025-2026 school year and set a public amended budget hearing for June 10th at 7 p.m. Meal prices. Breakfast and lunch prices will increase by 10 cents in the 2026-2027 school year. Elementary students will pay $2.30 for breakfast and $3.45 for lunch. Junior high and high school students will pay $2.30 for breakfast and $3.70 for lunch. The district is required to raise prices a minimum of 10 cents per ISBE equity guidelines. Student fees. The board voted to continue eliminating most student fees for the 2026-2027 year, with exceptions for the technology insurance fee, driver's education, and dual credit fees. Activity fund accounts. The board approved establishing activity fund accounts for the class of 2030 and for ACE athletes, and closed the account for the graduating class of 2026. ACE is a new program recognizing athletes who have good attendance and grades. Property and liability insurance. Following the Finance Committee's review, the board approved renewing property and liability coverage through the Illinois County's Risk Management Trust for 2026-2027, as recommended by Lindenmeyer. The bills list approximately $10,000 for the trust, a prorated amount covering May 19th through June 30th as the district shifts its renewal period from the former May 18th to May 17th cycle to July 1st to June 30th cycle. The change is timing and cash flow adjustment and does not represent added costs. Interfund transfers. The board approved two resolutions authorizing interfund transfers from the working cash fund, $150,000 to the education fund to cover technology-related expenses, the last installment from the $750,000 working cash bond approved for technology in November, and $40,000 to the Transportation Fund for transportation expenses. We have a lot of money in working cash, Superintendent Tom Mulligan said, and why it's there is to use when we need it. Amended school calendar. The board approved an amended calendar for fiscal year 26 that accounts for emergency days used this school year. Bank depository. Arcola First Mid was approved as the district's bank depository for 2026 through 2027. Transportation contract. The board approved financial terms for the 2026-2027 school year with Gold Transportation for transportation service with an 8.24% increase. Mulligan said Gold has been a great partner for the school. Gold is not out of line with what they're charging, he said. Copier lease. A 60-month lease agreement with Watts Copiers for 4 copiers was approved. Mulligan praised the service that Watts has provided. They've been a phenomenal partner, he said. He noted the lease is paid out of the district lease fund and said the board has 3 more years before it would need to consider levying that fund again. Benchmark assessments. The board approved switching the district's benchmark and progress monitoring assessment system to Renaissance Star, an annual cost of $8,400. The district currently uses NWEA MAP for benchmark assessments and Ames Web for progress monitoring. STAR can fulfill both functions and is considered more teacher-friendly in terms of data and aligns with the district's new literacy curriculum. The cost is comparable to what the district currently pays for the two systems combined. FFA field trip. The board approved an overnight FFA field trip schedule for June. Fiscal Year 27 District Consolidated Plan. The board approved the district's consolidated plan, which is required annually to allow the district to apply for federal grant funds. Disposal of surplus materials. The board authorized the staff to dispose of outdated instructional materials no longer in use, primarily materials from previous literacy curriculum. Staff plans to retain several resources and books while clearing out teaching materials that have been replaced. Recognitions were approved by Tony Spainauer, behavior interventionalist, Tori Kosick, part-time speech, and Jason Kahn, junior high boys basketball coach. New hires were Bob Schutzbach, director of building and grounds, and Mackenzie Rock as junior high girls basketball assistant coach. The next article is from the Villa Grove School Board. They approve budget and technology upgrades by Jacob Hamm. The Villa Grove School Board approved their annual budget and various technology upgrades at Monday night's meeting. The budget will be balanced, according to Superintendent Dr. Carol Munson. While the school budget had an approximately $2 million surplus for the 2025-2026 fiscal year, the transportation budget portion of the budget had a $17,000 deficit. The transportation budget for 2026-27 benefited from a timely state payment, Dr. Munson said after the meeting. The state reimburses school districts for their transportation budget. The Villa Grove School District received 4 transportation payments instead of the 3 that were expected. Dr. Munson explained that sometimes the budget payments were delayed but are prorated through the school year based on usage and expenses. The budget was approved unanimously by the school board. The school board voted to table a lease agreement until July 1st meeting for 8 school buses to avoid any potential budget discrepancies for the 2025-2026 budget. Dr. Munson introduced the motion to delay the approval of the lease agreement and it was approved unanimously by the board. The school board also unanimously approved nearly $246,000 in upgrades to technological and security systems for the district. The board approved a contract with Hart Technologies to perform the upgrades. The school will upgrade its door swiping system by changing the hardware and software along with swiping system itself. Dr. Munson said the door access is top priority due to the system being outdated. Several school board members expressed support for the upgrades for the safety of students and staff. Phones in the classroom will be replaced and upgraded as their phone and internet provider no longer provides service to landlines. All classroom phones will be replaced and use VoIP similar to the office phones. According to Dr. Munson, the school district will save approximately $1,000 a month to switch to VoIP phones from landlines once the new phones are purchased. They will also be upgraded to some of the security cameras to improve coverage of the cameras, and a new hard drive for the security cameras will be purchased. The door and phone upgrades will take place before the start of the 2026-2027 school year, pending scheduling with the Hart Technologies. Changes to the intercom and bell system will occur once the school year starts. The intercom and bell systems are being changed because of other upgrades and the need for an increase in the facility's internet capacity. According to Dr. Munson, the bell and intercom systems will work currently. They want to modernize them once their providers upgrade the infrastructure. The next article, Vision to Venture Programming, concludes with plans to repeat next year. The first Vision to Venture Business Boot Camp recently concluded after 5 weeks of hands-on learning, collaboration, and business development opportunities for aspiring and current business owners. Sponsored by the Douglas County Economic Development Corporation, 12 participants took part in the program, which met once a week for 4 weeks before concluding with a pitch competition for grant funding during week 5. Throughout the series, participants gained practical knowledge and resources designed to help strengthen and grow their business ideas. Topics covered included in the program taught by local business professionals included business 360 planning, bookkeeping, business legal considerations, promotion and marketing, property leasing for businesses, artificial intelligence tools, and more. The sessions were designed to provide a well-rounded approach to entrepreneurship while also encouraging networking and idea sharing among participants. The program concluded with a presentation of a $2,500 rebranding grant to Jim Means of Ecoasis. Means shared that the funding would help the transition of his business, allowing him to focus more on people and experiences while continuing to grow his vision. Facilitators Mick Howery, Stephanie McMahon, Hannah Myers expressed excitement about the success of the inaugural program and are eager to offer Vision to Venture again in the spring of 2027. Stephanie McMahon shared that she has been impressed by the Monticello Business Bootcamp for years and is grateful for the knowledge shared by their facilitators, Carly McFarland and Shelley Crawford Stock. According to McMahon, the DCEDC is proud to bring this program to Douglas County to support entrepreneurs, adding to our toolbox of resources to grow businesses in our local communities. The next article, Save-A-Lot celebrates grand opening in Arthur. Save-A-Lot, one of the largest independently owned and operated value-focused groceries chains in the U.S., celebrated the grand opening of its newest store with community events, giveaways, and special promotions beginning Wednesday, May 13th at 215 South Vine Street in Arthur. The new store offers Arthur residents access to Save-A-Lot's selection of fresh produce, meat cut daily in-store, everyday grocery essentials, and private label products at affordable prices, the company said. To mark the occasion, the first 100 customers received a free prepackaged bag of grocery items. Then at 10 a.m., the store leadership hosted city officials and community members for ribbon cutting, followed by various prize giveaways and hot deals for customers to take advantage of during their visit. Local food truck favorite Polly's Barbecue Food Truck was also on hand. Another perk offered its customers who signed up for the Save-A-Lot loyalty program also received $5 off a shopping trip of $20 or more between May 13th and May 19th. We're excited to welcome the Arthur community to the new Save-A-Lot store and celebrate this opening with local residents, said Bob Himango, president and CEO of Kirby Foods. Our team looks forward to providing customers with quality groceries, outstanding value, and a convenient shopping experience close to home. The celebration continued May 16th with a community grill out and prize drawings. The Arthur Save-A-Lot store is open daily from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. About Save-A-Lot. Founded in 1977, Save-A-Lot is the largest independently owned and operated value-focused grocery chain in the United States with approximately 600 stores in 29 states. For more information, visit www.savealot.com. And the last first page story, Nickerson pleads attempted murder gets 17 years by Jacob Hamm. 19-year-old Tajay Nickerson of Urbana will serve a 17-year prison sentence for the attempted murder of Amanda Lampkin and Matthew Wilkins in November of 2025. Nickerson, who had a relationship with a 16-year-old Catelyn Lampkin, attempted to murder Lampkin and Wilkins with two kitchen knives on November 29, 2025, both of which were recovered and used as evidence in the investigation. One of the knives was found in the kitchen sink and the other knife was found after Nickerson told police where he had hidden the knife. Catelyn was taken into custody for attempting to aid Nickerson in her parents' murder immediately following the incident for conspiracy to commit murder. However, Douglas County State's Attorney's Office did not comment on her investigation due to her being a minor. Catelyn's mother identified her via social media, which is how she was identified in the press. After Nickerson attempted to murder Catelyn's parents, he then fled the scene, hiding in a nearby garage inside a vehicle. Catelyn briefly fled the scene but returned shortly thereafter. Nickerson was taken into custody after Tuscola police tracked him down using footprints in the snow and various technological aids, according to Douglas County State's Attorney Rob Kosick. Nickerson and Catelyn attempted to move the trial to happen sooner, but were cautioned against doing so by their public defenders, not having adequate time to prepare. Nickerson said, "I'm not sitting in jail that long," referring to a 90-day requirement for the trial. Both were denied pretrial release for the safety of the victims and the public. During the trial, the investigator, Kosick, and state's attorney office met with the victims of the crime and gave them updates on the trial. The prosecution used many pieces of evidence, testimony, and electronics. There are a number of moving parts to it, Kosick said, referring to the investigation and the trial. Nickerson pleaded guilty to the crime and entered a plea deal, waiving his right to a jury trial. He was sentenced to 17 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections, where he is mandated to serve at least 85% of his sentence, which is a law for Class X felonies. His other charge of attempted murder was dismissed as part of the plea deal. We'll move now to the obituaries. Donna Jean Taylor, 86, of Mattoon, formerly of Oakland, passed away at 4:45 a.m. on Saturday, May 9, 2026, at Willow Breeze Hospice House in Mattoon. Funeral services were held Friday, May 15th, at the Edwards Funeral Home, Arcola. Pastor Dan Hafley officiated. Visitation was held prior to the funeral at the funeral home. Burial will be in the Gwynn Cemetery at a later date. Georgina Smith, 57, of Tuscola, passed away at 11:56 a.m. on Sunday, May 3, 2026, at her residence. Celebration of life services will be held at a later date. Erin Nicole Taylor, 12, of Tuscola, passed away at 7:25 p.m. on Monday, May 11, 2026, at OSF Children's Hospital in Peoria. Private celebration of life services were held on Saturday, May 16th. Beverly Jane Miller, 86, of Arthur, former of Bloomfield, Iowa, passed away at 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday, May 12, 2026, at the Haven of Care in Arthur. Funeral services were held Friday, May 15th, at the HCK West Building, south of Arthur. Bishop Lamar Miller officiated. Burial followed in the Otto Cemetery. Visitation was held Thursday, May 14th, at the HCK West Building. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Judith Ann Wright, 78, of Tuscola, passed away at 7 p.m. Wednesday, May 13, 2026, at Carl Hospital, Urbana. Visitation will be held Wednesday, May 20th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Hilligoss Schrader Funeral Home, 705 South Main Street, Tuscola. A celebration of life service will be held following the visitation, where family and friends will gather to reflect on her remarkable life and legacy. Burial will be at the Tuscola Township Cemetery. Beverly Jean Schweigart, née Hughes, 73, died Sunday, May 10th at home in Tuscola. A celebration of life for Beverly Jean Schweigart will be held on Friday, May 22nd at 11 a.m. At the Tuscola United Methodist Church, to be followed by a luncheon at the church. Memorials will be made to the Tuscola United Methodist Church or NAMI Champaign County. The next article, Arthur Freedom Celebration Parade entries are now being accepted. Entries are now being accepted for the 2026 Arthur Freedom Celebration Parade, scheduled for Saturday, June 27th in Arthur. Individuals, organizations, churches, businesses, clubs, and other community groups interested in participating in the parade are asked to contact Stephanie Weirman at 217-620-7460 to request an entry form. This year's parade theme is Celebrating 250 Years, One Nation, One Community, in honor of America's 250th anniversary celebration. Parade organizers encourage entries to decorate their floats, vehicles, display in red, white, and blue to help commemorate the historic milestone. Sponsored by the Arthur Area Association of Commerce, parade lineup will begin at 12:30 p.m. at the Old Progress Tank facility located at 402 East Progress Street in Arthur. The parade will begin promptly at 2 p.m. Only parade participants will be allowed in the lineup area. A designated drop-off area for parade participants will be located at the Progress Tank entrance at 402 East Progress Street. The parade route will travel west on Progress Street to Vine Street, then head south through downtown Arthur. The route will continue left onto Logan Street, then left again onto Pine Street before ending back at Progress Street. The Arthur American Legion Post 749 will again distribute American flags along the parade route. Community members are encouraged to bring lawn chairs and enjoy the parade festivities with family, friends, and neighbors anywhere along the route. Children and kids at heart are reminded to bring candy bags for the parade treats. Parade participants are asked to report for lineup between 12:30 and 1:45 p.m. on June 27th. The next article, example of farming subject for Ag in the Classroom. Ag in the Classroom recently discussed chickens and eggs. The high-quality protein in eggs is an excellent economic and nutritional choice. Eggs contain all 9 essential amino acids that our bodies need. America's egg farmers use a multitude of housing systems for chickens. Hens are provided with adequate space, nutritious feed, clean water, and light. Farmers know that the quality care is vital to the hens and their laying productivity. Chickens are fed a balanced diet of cornmeal and soybean meal with additional vitamins and minerals. The FDA egg safety rule and state federal regulatory programs ensure eggs are safe. Newly laid eggs are refrigerated quickly to maintain freshness and quality and safety. The best way to store eggs is in their carton in the coldest part of your refrigerator. Younger students made a clucking chicken life cycle craft. Older students did an escape box activity or tried STEM activities by making egg drop without cracking. Douglas County Ag in the Classroom is supported by the Moultrie Douglas Farm Bureau, Douglas County Farm Service Agency, and Illinois Ag in the Classroom. Next article, Doug Davis retiring from LAAH after 33 years of teaching, by Trudy Fairreisen. ALAH is saying goodbye to one of its most dedicated and beloved teachers, Doug Davis. During the 1986 alum of Lovington High School and graduated from Southern Illinois University in 1990 with a BA in radio television production, then went on to receive a BS in secondary education history in 1992. He met his lovely wife Leslie in 1987 and they were married in 1989 and shortly thereafter started a family. He originally thought he would work behind the scenes in radio television, but in his senior year, one of the professors at Southern asked him to teach a class, and at the same time, he was also working in teaching skills lab, where he videotaped educational materials that would use the videos of self-evaluation. The combination of these two experiences made Doug realize that he loved teaching, so he told Leslie he wanted to go back to school, and without a blink, she said, okay. Since he was working in teaching skills lab and taking master's level courses, the school paid for his second degree. The first year after graduation, he substitute taught in 23 different districts from White Heath to Windsor and Mount Zion to Villa Grove. That amount of experience allowed him to see what he liked and what he didn't like, re-faculty, administrations, etc. And by the end of that year, there were two schools he had in mind which he would like to work. Arthur was one of them. He had separate interviews with then superintendents Al Froman and high school principal Ed Collar. And when they told him after the interview that there were five more days of interviewing and they would get back to him. After making his 15-minute drive home to Hammond, he walked in the door and Leslie and said, "The phone is for you." It was Ed Collar expressing, "We've talked, and if you want the job, it's yours. We'll cancel the rest of the interviews." And the rest is history, literally. When Doug started Arthur High School, he was the only teacher in the history department, but as the school became Arthur Lovington and then ALAH, he became part of a team. He has routinely taught the following classes over the years: U.S. History 1, U.S. History 2, World History, and Civics, his favorite being the 20th century history and the U.S. History 2. He's also had the privilege of teaching psychology, which he loved, sociology, current events, geography, dual credit college, and U.S. history, speech, drama, and broadcasting. He's also chaperoned the infamous Washington, D.C. senior trip 14 times and coached 5th and 6th grade boys basketball, high school football as offensive and defensive line coach, high school girls track for 10 years, and assistant high school baseball. His longest coaching stint being 23 years as a junior high boys basketball coach, leading them to 5 state appearances, 14 regional championships, and the winning the IBCA Coach of the Year in 2000. He also coached the Scholastic Bowl team and won the National Honor Society sponsor for 15 years. One of his greatest and most appreciated accomplishments was starting the Roundtable TV 2013 through 2022 to broadcast sporting and community events so those who could not attend in person could watch their loved ones. He had a great sidekick in Matt Schrock, Doug doing the play-by-play and Matt doing the commentary. Behind the scene was Doug's wife Leslie making the commercials, as the entire endeavor was funded by local businesses advertising. Quite an impressive community effort, one that is still missed to this day. Other accolades of this accomplished teacher include, but not limited to, DAR Outstanding Teacher of the American History in 2017, Best Constitution Week Activity in the State of Illinois in 2020, VFW District 11 Teacher of the Year in 2025, and an honor that is closest to his heart is when he became the honorary alumni of Arthur High School in 2019. And sharing that, Doug made the comment, "It was very special to me. I felt loved." Arthur has become home to him and his family of 4 beautiful daughters, Caitlin, Hannah, Jessica, and Paige, and a secondary home to his 3, soon to be 4, sons-in-law, and he and Leslie's 5 granddaughters. Upon retiring, he looks forward to spending more time with all of them, traveling, riding his Harley, fishing, antiquing, and going back to take more walks. He also plans to continue his role as pastor of the Arthur Southern Baptist Church, where he's been in leadership since 2006. He shared that he will greatly miss those aha moments in teaching when you see a student understand something for the first time, and also when you get to encourage them to find and use the abilities they've been given personally given in his world. He will also miss his early morning prayer walks through the school building. He has left behind a legacy of love of history, love for the individual student, sharing his delight that 7 of his former students have become history teachers, and that many still reach out to him to share about their lives or seek advice. He's also done his share of weddings for them. To the Arthur community expressed, "I want to thank the community for welcoming me with open arms and making me feel like one of your own and supporting all the wonderful things I've had the privilege to do." The community is invited to his graduation-style retirement party Sunday, May 31st at Arthur Community Building from 2 to 5 p.m. Come prepared to share a memory, funny moment, or lesson you remember with Mr. Davis on the cards that will be provided. The next article, Memorable Graduation Moments, I'm Just Saying by Mike Carroll. Another TCHS graduation is past. Another moment to pause and consider the memorable words of Ted Bumper Ferguson during his valedictorian speech over 40 years ago. As we grow older, returning to our youth becomes increasingly problematic. Dr. Ferguson was probably wishes I'd forget that part of his speech, but I can't. It's burned in that part of my brain that collects memorable graduation moments, ones that don't simply repeat long-understood standard tips for a successful life, e.g. work hard, dream big, love deep, help others, constantly thrive, be happy, be content if not happy, follow your heart, but when in doubt about your heart, then marry financially well. See, I gave just a pretty good speech then. Advising fellow students and returning to one's youth as time goes by is increasingly problematic as one of those great moments. Engo, Mitch, Taylor, Porter, and I are currently trying to prove Bumper wrong, showcasing our razor-sharp memories in brilliant repartee, well, at least me, and our award-winning podcast, Remembering Tuscola. I think I'm way ahead of those ancient geezers, but I certainly didn't do myself any good by shaving my head bald some years ago, that and applying professionally tattooed wrinkle lines. Dr. Ferguson, by the way, pursued a storied career in plastic surgery. In this kind of weird way, he probably was trying to invalidate his own prediction by turning back time for others, with a tuck here and a cut there, some collagen, maybe a nose redo. Woody Allen wrote a short story in 1975 in his book Side Effects. My speech to the graduate is meant to be dark humor, but given the state of the world today, it is too close to reality to be funny. I'll hear a few cuts. More than any other time in history, mankind faces a crossroads. One path leads to despair and utter hopelessness, the other to total extinction. Let us pray we have the wisdom to choose correctly. Violence breeds more violence, and it is predicted that by 1990, kidnapping will be the dominant mode of social interaction. Overpopulation will exacerbate the problem to the breaking point. Figures tell us there are already more people on Earth than we need to move even the heaviest piano. If we do not call halt to the breeding by the year 2000, there'll be no room to serve dinner unless one is willing to set the table on the heads of strangers. Okay, Allen's humor is not for everyone. But he had been scheduled speaker for either my college or law school graduation, I would have gone. I skipped both of them for several reasons. $25 cap and gown rental, standing in long lines in hot weather, that and sleeping in sounded better. Plus, I've always believed everything's downhill after high school. At our 1965 baccalaureate ceremony, standard in my day, remember having Methodist minister Reverend Kenneth McConkie address us. During his talk, and without looking at any notes, he recited from memory Edward Markham's great poem, The Man with the Hoe. The poem contains 5 stanzas, 49 lines, and 385 words. Here's part of it. Bowed by the weight of centuries, he leans upon his hoe and gazes on the ground, the emptiness of ages in his face, and on his back the burden of the world. Who made him dead to rapture and despair, a thing that grieves not and never hopes, stolid and stunned, a brother to the ox? Who loosened and let down his brutal jaw? Who was the hand that slanted back his brow? Whose breath blew out the light within his brain? O masters, lords, and rulers in all lands, how will the future reckon with this man? How answer his brute questions in that hour when whirlwinds of rebellion shake the world? How will it be with kingdoms and with kings, with those who shaped him to the thing that he is, when this dumb terror shall reply to guide after the silence of centuries? Wow, I thought at the time, this I remember. When my time came a few years ago, I was committed to knocking it out of the park by saying provocative, earth-shaking truths, plus reciting from memory a long, famous poem. I practiced and practiced, but I couldn't remember the poem in any depth or length. Finally, in desperation, and with only a few days left to go, I settled on the shortest poem in history, entitled Fleas. It was written by Ogden Nash, and it goes, Adam Haddam. Not only did that flop, but I got Cold Feet and my controversial rock them out of their comfort zone seats, and instead basically said, work hard, dream big, love deep, help others, constantly thrive and be content, if not happy, follow your heart, but when in doubt about your heart, then marry financially well. It's still good advice. And an article by Ramblin' Man David Porter, just a brief note on cattle. I thought I'd write this week about two topics, clowns and the government, but that would be redundant. You say they should write about what you know, but that would ran dry some years ago. I really don't know that much stuff. So I could write about a couple of topics I don't know anything about, like golf and women. Mark Twain called golf a good walk spoiled, and I can go along with that. So I looked to see what the master had to say about women, and that would people on earth be like without women, and he was asked, scarce. Poking fun at both sides, Twain said women would rather have beauty than brains because men are better at seeing than thinking. Well, I suppose I could buckle down and write something original and profound. I've never had before, so why shouldn't today be any different? The problem is that nothing too exciting happened to me this week, largely due to an expletive that I don't think I want to think about, let alone write about. And this four-letter word is, of course, work. We've been a little short-handed, and what can make people a little short-tempered I can handle, though I've been always a little bit short. Short in stature, short on patience, short on cash, short-sighted, some would say, one brick short of a full load. But I ride tall in the saddle, tell tall tales, stand in tall cotton. That's pretty much all the tall and short of it. Not much in the way of cattle, pretty much all hat, but it's a nice hat. That is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerkes saying goodbye, and see you again next week.